Chapter 16. Zara. Night has already set in as I make my way to the Circle's temporary council room, time slipping away all too quickly. Soon, the hordes of the R'hllar will surround this entire city, and everyone inside will be trapped. They're already on their way, marching inexorably to wipe out the last seat of human power left on Bihalia. That is, I think, unless we can stop them. When the Pillar of Radiance fell, the Academy became the primary meeting place for the Conclave. That meant that many of the initiates and professors had to go home, to stay with their families. Now the hallways are sparsely lit and empty, save for busy mages hurrying to and from their appointments. I nearly bump into someone as I round a corner, coming face to face with an elderly man with a long white beard. "Oh, Ignis, my apologies." The wizened Cabal mage offers me a kindly smile, the skin wrinkling at the corners of his eyes.
"Why, hello, Zara. Fancy meeting you here. It's good to see you again."
"It's good to see you too," I offer, smiling as well. "What are you doing here?"
"Oh, just a bit of reading. I couldn't fall asleep in my own bed, but when I sat down in the library with a book, I could barely keep my eyes open."
He sighs.
"A deficiency of old age, I suppose."
He looks me over, his features warming like an affectionate grandfather.
"I heard you were back, and it looks like you're still in one piece. I would love to hear all about your time in the Wastes, my dear."
"It's a strange tale," I remark, "but one that will have to wait, I'm afraid."
"Oh, yes, of course. If I might ask, where are you heading at such a late hour?"
"I was just off to meet with the Circle," I reply. After a moment, I add, "You should come with me, Ignis. Your insight could be important. I need to tell the mages about something, a spell I learned from one of Edna's books." He brightens at the mention of his late former colleague.
"Are you sure that's wise? Some of them may view me as an interloper."
I shrug. "The end is upon us. If the magisters can't let go of their prejudices now, then that's their problem. You're a visiting dignitary with more talent than many in the Conclave. You deserve to be in there." He frowns and opens his mouth to respond, but I cut him off, adding, "Consider it a personal invitation from the Seeker." Ignis eyes me for a few seconds before nodding.
"Very well, then. I probably wouldn't be able to fall asleep anyway. Too much on my mind. Lead the way."
We continue down the hall, making our way to one of the meeting chambers reserved for the deans. I push open the door without knocking, stepping into a large rectangular room with a long wooden table set in the middle. Around it, the members of the new Circle sit in conversation with Magister Roth sitting at the head. All turn to look as we enter, and I take my place at the table opposite Magister Roth without breaking stride. Ignis waits off to the side, hands clasped respectfully before him.
"Seeker Denil," Magister Roth says. "How kind of you to join us this evening, and it appears you brought a guest."
He looks tired, dark circles under his eyes giving him a haunted cast. The other mages don't appear much better.
"My pleasure, Magister," I reply a little breathlessly. "And yes, this is Ignis from the Nightingale Cabal. I invited him to attend, as I have important information to share."
"That's High Magus to you, girl," one of the mages says haughtily. "Show some respect."
I give Roth a questioning look. "High Magus?" He shrugs.
"We voted an hour ago. The Circle didn't think it would be wise to go into battle without someone leading the Conclave."
He gives me a look as if to say, "I'm just as surprised as you are, Zara."
"Well, that's good," I reply, not meaning to make it sound like a question, realizing that his new position and title are well earned. "I mean, that's great. Congratulations. The new High Magus bows his head slightly.
What's he doing here, anyway?
Another member of the circle chimes in, as Ignis remains quietly by the door.
This is supposed to be a closed meeting.
Two or three of the others grumble and nod. He's an experienced mage, I reply, and a friend. I trust him implicitly and have sought knowledge from him on several occasions. He needs to be here to hear what I have to say.
High Magus Roth lifts an eyebrow. And I trust you, Seeker. If that is all, he says as he glances about the room at the other mages, pray we continue. You have returned with the Nightingales. Successful, I presume?
Roth's voice is kinder than the others. More than anyone, he seems desperate for some hope. Yes, I've come to report to the Circle on what I learned about the spell I was testing on a small horde of demons attacking a town nearby. My hopes are that it will aid us in our upcoming mission. For that is why we're all here, is it not? To protect the kingdom from the R'hllar. I glance pointedly about the room till I come back to look at Roth, his gaze softened while tired. He nods at me to continue.
I discovered something that we can use on the source crystal in the wastes. The Radiant Incendiary.
The Radiant Incendiary? Someone asks. What nonsense is this?
It's not nonsense, I reply coolly. It's a very real and very powerful spell. It was developed by a mage named Edna, and is based on true accounts in the historical record.
Edna? Isn't she another Cabal mage? A traitor?
This is absurd. High Magus, we shouldn't have to listen to this.
Let her speak,
Roth cuts in, motioning for me to keep going. I nod appreciatively. It's an artifice that harnesses the energies within a source crystal to create a sort of bomb. The radiant explosion it produces is non-lethal to humans, but it reduces demons to ash. I believe it can be used on a grand scale to defeat the R'hllar entirely. Look, I was able to test it this afternoon. I pull the cord from around my neck. A blackened sliver of source crystal is all that remains of my talisman.
The spell worked, Magisters.
The room falls quiet, the mages all leaning forward to get a closer look at the destroyed talisman.
The spell worked?
The same hard-nosed mage asks with a frown.
Yes, I reply. It reacted in the precise manner it was supposed to. I used the source crystal to create an artifice that then exploded.
Roth, High Magus Roth, perks up.
And what of the demons?
They were destroyed, I answer.
Then, grimacing, I hold up my wounded hand, hastily wrapped in a bloody bandage. Admittedly, there were some complications. The shrapnel from the crystal cut up my hand pretty badly. Fortunately, the blast itself didn't cause me mortal harm.
A barrage of questions comes from every which way.
Were you able to measure the blast radius? How many demons did you destroy? What words of power did you use? Were the demons struck dead or simply obliterated?
High Magus Roth begins rapping his bony knuckles against the surface of the table.
Let the young Magus have a moment to breathe.
I brush a strand of hair from my eyes.
Thank you, High Magus. I will answer all your questions in time. However, we must first discuss our next steps. I assume everyone here has been informed on the status of the R'hllar army?
Everyone around the table nods, expressions growing grim.
Good. Then you understand that time is of the essence. We must leave as soon as possible to give those defending the city a fighting chance at survival. Now that we know for sure that the spell works, I propose that we leave tomorrow morning at first light. It's a long journey to the wastes. And the longer we wait, the likelier we are to encounter demons on the way.
"What do you mean, we?"
asks the same blustering mage as before.
"And who are you to presume ordering us around? We know next to nothing about this spell you claim works so well, and even less about this crystal you also claim exists out in the wastes. I still say our best chance is to keep all the mages here to assist with the siege and do all we can to recreate the Ark."
The High Magus addresses the man.
"You know as well as I do that we can't recreate the Ark without a sizable source crystal, Vargas. And I've worked with Seeker Denil for some time. If she says that this spell can work, I believe her."
Again, all eyes turned to me. "It did work," I insist, once again holding up the destroyed crystal at the end of its cord. "And with help, I know that we can recreate the incendiary on a greater scale, maybe even a global one."
"But why didn't the ancient mages use this spell?"
Vargas complains, digging in his heels despite the High Magus's words.
"Certainly they would have dispensed with creating the Ark if they could simply blow up the invading demons."
"The artifice is documented as being terribly unpredictable," I respond, "and I have first-hand experience of the collateral damage it can cause. But it's the only option we have. Unless, of course, our artificers have figured out a way for us to recreate the Ark?" Vargas glowers at me. The ensuing silence answers my question better than words ever could.
"How many mages would you need?"
the High Magus asks, his voice hesitant, as if fearing the answer. I pause to do some quick arithmetic in my head. Sheepishly, I respond, "Honestly, I'll need a score of your most powerful mages." Gasps and dark mutters fill the room. "I understand that sounds like a lot," I continue, raising my voice to be heard over the dissenters. "But I assure you, with a source crystal of this size, it's necessary. When the Ark was created, the entire circle was present to lend their strength to the spell. I can't do this on my own." Arguing ensues, descending into a clamor that drowns out any attempt I make at speaking. Vargas is the most vocal of those in opposition to my proposal, but there are several others who are just as passionate. For a moment I begin to lose hope, frustration bubbling up like a hot spring within me. Why are they resisting me? Can't they see that we're fighting a losing battle? They haven't seen the R'lar armies in person. If they had, they'd be volunteering to go with me on this quest. The High Magus stands to quell the arguments, raising his normally even voice to a commanding shout.
"Silence!"
Everyone gapes at him in surprise. He clasps his hands behind his back, regaining his composure in a matter of seconds.
"We've scoured the archives. Nothing exists today that tells us how to recreate the Ark. If the information ever existed, then it was lost when the pillar fell."
He nods at me, his weary features hardening with resolve.
"Seeker Denil offers us the best chance we have at survival, and I for one believe that we would be foolish not to take it. That's why we will be sending our top mages to accompany her to the wastes. This is my command."
I give him a grateful smile.
"We'll submit to you a list of names within the hour," he continues, pointedly ignoring the angry glares leveled at him by Vargas and the others. "The chosen mages will be notified, and I promise they'll be ready to head out first thing in the morning. Will that suffice?"
"It will, thank you, High Magus."
"Very well," he concludes,
sitting back down at the head of the table.
"You may leave and prepare yourself for the journey. Be sure to secure a new talisman for yourself from the stewards before you leave."
He gestures at the empty cord.
"You'll surely have need of one before long. And get yourself to the infirmary as well. A professional should take a look at that hand."
"Yes, of course. Thank you, High Magus."
"And you? Ignis, was it?" Roth nods toward the elder Nightingale, still standing quietly in the corner.
You may stay. The Nightingales are part of our alliance now, and we could use the insight of a Cabal mage.
Ignis bows his head respectfully and takes a seat at the table.
How gracious of you! I would be delighted to attend.
Some of the other members of the circle exchange dubious looks, but I share a smile and a wink with Ignis before leaving the room.
Thank you, Light, I think,
stepping out into the dimly lit hall as I head for the infirmary.
Now please guide us so that this mission will be a success.
It's a good thing you came to me when you did, Seeker. These wounds are deep. Infection would have set in if you'd waited much longer.
The old nurse turns away and begins rummaging through her cupboards, muttering to herself as she searches for medicine. Sitting on a stool in the academy's infirmary, I cradle my torn and bloody hand and mentally go over the events of the day. The spell worked, I think, recalling the violent red explosion. There's hope. Now, all I need to do is recalibrate the spell, expand it, and teach the other mages going to the wastes how to use it to save the kingdom. Easy, right? The nurse returns with bandages and a black vial which emits a foul smell as soon as she uncorks it. She sets them down on the table beside us, then picks up a tiny pair of metal pincers. I grimace as she inspects the lacerations with a practiced eye, using the tool to pluck bits of source crystal embedded in the skin. When she applies the antiseptic, it's all I can do to not cry out in pain. The solution bubbles in the cuts, stinging painfully as it works its way into the broken skin. Once my wounds are cleaned and a salve applied, she begins wrapping the hand with the white bandages, completely covering the palm, but leaving my fingers visible. There, she says with satisfaction, straightening and looking over her handiwork. Luckily, none of the cuts need stitches, but it will take several weeks for them to fully heal. The hand, tightly bound and sterilized, doesn't offer much in terms of functionality, but at least it feels better. Sort of. I don't suppose I'll be able to do much writing in the interim.
Unfortunately, no, she replies, expression stern. You need to take it easy, Seeker. No strenuous activities until the skin heals.
Blast, I think in frustration. Why didn't I hold the talisman in my left hand?
You'll need to keep that dry for the first week or so, she continues, gathering up her supplies and returning them to the cupboard. Come back to me every day so that I can check on it and reapply antiseptic.
That's going to be a bit of a problem, I reply, getting to my feet. You see, I'm going to be leaving the city, most likely tomorrow.
Leaving the city? She asks. Whatever for?
It's a long story, I say, shrugging apologetically. But it's for an important cause, and I'll be traveling with members of the circle.
I see, she replies, eyebrows furrowing. In that case, here.
She retrieves the black bottle and the bandages and hands them to me.
Take these. Apply the antiseptic once a day and rewrap your bandages when they get soiled. Do your best to keep your hand clean, and you should see a noticeable difference within the week.
I accept them with my good hand and stuff them into a pocket in my robes. Thank you. You're too kind.
Don't thank me, Seeker, she says, face softening. It's the least I can do. I'm not sure why you're leaving the city, but if it's circle business, I'm sure it's important. Take care of yourself. And if there's anything I can do, please let me know.
Smiling, I thank her again and depart, stepping out into the darkened hallway and staring glumly at my hand. Nothing can be done about it now, I think, letting out a sigh. The only thing I can do now is move forward. That, and pray it doesn't hinder my spellcasting.
With that, I begin making my way to my dormitory, thoughts turning like gears inside my head. There's still so much to do, and so little time to do it all.